Father, thank you for salvation and for a kingdom that is not of this world that you have invited and made a way for us to be a part of, Lord. And thank you for everyone in this room, Lord, for those who couldn't make it. Pray you bless them and pray that you bless our time together, Lord. We know that if you don't build the house, then the labor is labor in vain, Lord. And we don't want to do things by our strength or our might, but by your Spirit. And so I pray that you would keep all of us sensitive to your leading as we start another year. We thank you for your faithfulness over the past year and pray that this would be helpful, this time together. We ask your blessing, ask you to be a part of it. And Lord, just thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So some of this is going to sound very familiar to you if you've been coming to Children's Ministry or Special Needs Ministry for any length of time, even though there are things that will be familiar and just brushing up on things that you would have already known. There are also going to be several things that are new or that might have been assumed but never written out. And there are many things that I would still like to change and add and fine-tune, so all of your feedback is appreciated. Before we go any further, of course, always just a big thank you to all of you. I don't say it enough, but I appreciate you guys, and none of the things that we do here would be possible without you. I have four boys. They are 6, 4, 2, and 4 months. So keep them in prayer. You guys know the Children's Ministry staff, Cindy, Chris, Summer, Jen, Michelle, and all the coordinators that make this possible. You should all know your coordinator at this point, the people who you touch base with and who show you the ins and outs of everything. So I just want to talk about why Children's Ministry, why Special Needs Ministry. As we go into another year, I kind of wanted to capture the heart of what we do in Children's Ministry. And I'm going to be saying Children's Ministry most of the time, but I also mean Special Needs Ministry by Children's Ministry, because any child with special needs is in Children's Ministry as far as I'm concerned. And any junior higher with special needs is in junior high ministry, and so on and so forth. So to serve in Children's Ministry is to serve in Special Needs Ministry all the way on through a person's life on into adulthood. So Special Needs Ministry, you know, and Children's Ministry, there is a dance that we do together. The ministry is touching base with one another and working together. And that, the desire is on up through adulthood. But for Children's Ministry and for those of you working with children, as I've prayed about it, in order to communicate shortly and clearly what it is actually that we're desiring to do, the phrase that I kept returning to in my heart and in my mind is know, grow, and show. Know, grow, show. And so you'll see that kind of starting to appear on some of our resources and things just as a little snapshot of our desire here in Children's Ministry. It's to know God, to grow up in him, and then to put him on display, to show him. And so to know him is salvation, certainly. We want, if nothing else, people who come into our classrooms and into our church to get to know God. We are introducing them to a person. We are not just trying to familiarize themselves with a list of stories from the Bible, but we know that as we open up God's word, the desire then is that they would come to know God, the author of the book, the word himself. And so to know him, to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is discipleship. And so we serve kids who do not yet know God or believe in him for their salvation, and we serve kids who are already saved and have been so for several years. And we are as interested in seeing those unsaved get saved as we are discipling those who are already walking with Jesus. And so to grow means not just to grow in knowledge, but to be discipled. How do I apply God's word to my life? And so there should be a component of that in all the Bible lessons that we teach and the conversations that we have. How do we live out God's word, growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And then to put that on display and put it into practice to show evangelism. How can we equip kids to share the gospel themselves, to live it out? What does it look like to honor your father and mother? What does it look like to do the things that we read about and teach them as we go through all of these things? How do they apply the Bible for themselves? So know, grow, show, that being done together. And that gives us kind of a snapshot of something that we can tell a parent, hey, this is really the heart behind what we're doing here. We believe this is God's heart, to know him, to grow in him, and then to put him on display for the people around us. No grow show. So that kind of encapsulates what we're trying to do here. And there are several ways that we can make that happen. I am going to go rather quickly through some of these things. Just a couple things to note over this past year before we do. Several new volunteers joined the team, both special needs and children's ministry over the past year. Super thankful for everyone involved. We have roughly 350 to 450 kids roll through our ministries each week. It's an interesting thing to plan for because one Sunday could have 60 more kids than the following Sunday, and there's a big drop-off, and we have families who are here maybe once a month, families who are here every other week, families who will come occasionally, new families that come and then don't show up, so it's an ever kind of fluctuating number of kids that we have, which is why one Sunday you might have be pulling in chairs from your neighboring classroom, and the next Sunday you might be like twiddling your thumbs with five kids in the room. It's just a strange thing. But whoever comes through our doors, we want to be faithful in serving them. And we pray that God adds more and more. This past year, we had more kids than we've ever had in soccer league, in basketball, certainly in soccer camp, the biggest VBS that we've ever had. And so more and more families are coming. It's a blessing. Some of those things are an outreach into the direct community around us. And so I would just encourage you to keep all those things in prayer as we think about what the next year will bring. There is definitely more of an openness to the gospel, maybe you have felt in our culture. Definitely more opportunity to share in a less hostile environment. Now, those things are certainly there. There certainly is still an antagonism. But I think that due to everything that has happened with the election and with the wars going on in the world and with just the rise in anxiety and loneliness generally of this generation in particular, last year, if you haven't heard, Bible sales are up 22% in America. And those aren't necessarily, reflective of people who are plugging into churches per se. But it's certainly interesting to note that people are looking for something of substance. And I often hear people say, oh, I would never want to raise a child in today's environment, in today's world. But we have all the tools that we need in order to equip our kids to stand and remain strong and steadfast and to grow and have something substantial to hold on to and something substantial under their feet so that they're not shaken by every tide of doctrine or every event that takes place that was unplanned for or every, whatever the case might be. So remain confident that the thing that we have to equip our kids and to lead them to Jesus and to grow them in Jesus and to help them put it into practice, we've had it and we've been using it for as many years as we've been here. It's God's word. Last January, I talked about the importance of prayer, the turn we are taking with that and putting an emphasis on that. This year, I really just want to put a re-emphasis on the Word of God. So we'll be talking about that in a minute as we travel through. Why children's ministry? Children's ministry can look a lot of different ways. Many of you have experienced churches other than Calvary Philly. This is how it looks here. And part of the reason is to allow parents to get into the sanctuary without distraction and be ministered to and fed and enjoy worship and fellowship. And a lot of them, not a lot of them, but many of them do that just assuming that what their kids are getting in the back is a safe, fun place for them, maybe to hear some Bible stories and to sing some songs, more of like a daycare type setting. But we are much more intentional than that. And so the reason why you have a booklet in front of you and policies written out is because I think the best way to steward the time that we have with other people's children who God has entrusted to them is to be consistent across the board in how we minister to them and try to put God's heart on display to make sure that they're in the safest environment possible and in an environment where there's consistency across the board, room to room, age group to age group, where they know what to expect, that they're going to hear from God, talk to God, be loved by others, enjoy fellowship, and spend time in worship. So we want to bless the kids by that consistency. The gauge for everything that I've written out has always been that passage that we've gone through before. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And of course, that is the prayer that every time a child is dropped off in ministry, as soon as they go into a classroom, they are experiencing the touch of Jesus, as it were. Jesus taking them in. That they're not experiencing people who are hindering them from coming to him, but every classroom, every interaction, every even correction is a way where we can not hinder them from coming to God, but invite them into his arms so that they leave, hopefully having been blessed by Jesus, having been touched by him themselves. So, good verses to have memorized if you don't already. That is kind of the heart that I have prayed through with all of our policies and things like that to hopefully breathe some life into our policies and make them less dry and boring. Children's ministry is a ministry to the whole church. It is not just a ministry to children. Special needs ministry is a ministry to the whole church. It is not just a ministry to our special needs kids or even just to their families. It is children's ministry plus. And so just know that however tedious it may have been in your classroom today or any day to take care of a particular child or a particular situation or a particular group of children, that it is a ministry that is reaching far more than just the children in front of your face. It is a ministry that goes home to the family and is a blessing to the church as a whole. So I would encourage you just to keep the big picture in mind. So just a couple things to note as we do go through this. It is a ministry to children. And so in order to serve in children's ministry, you kind of have to love kids. And if for some reason you've been serving in children's ministry and you hate kids, then I would ask that you resign and find somewhere else to serve. In all seriousness, I never expect that just because you served in children's ministry last year or special needs ministry last year that you will continue doing so. So I always just want to say there's an out. You never signed a contract. I never expect that I will have all of you forever until Jesus comes back, though I pray that's the case. The Lord has different seasons in our lives, and sometimes we would like to continue serving in a certain capacity. There's just no longer the opportunity to do that because our lives have changed so drastically. Or sometimes we just feel the Lord is moving us on to something else, and that's okay. Don't feel like you're like a traitor. Don't feel like I hate you. Don't feel like we're against you. I'm thankful for every week that you show up once again and put your hand to the plow in children's ministry or special needs ministry, and I don't take that for granted, but I also don't assume. I don't assume that you'll always be here. So just give us a heads up. Come see me so that I can say thank you and God bless you and pray for you, whatever the Lord has for you next, and we'll go from there. But it's about the kids, how we interact with them, welcome them into the room, how we help them with the crafts. Even if we're not particularly good with glue or scissors, we do our best. You know, glitter is forbidden, so that should already just cause us to praise the Lord and do our best. Let the little children come to him through the Bible lesson, whether we're helping kids open up the Bible. Listen, I know kids forget their Bibles, but I'm happy for a four-year-old to bring their Bible to church. I'm happy for any child to know that when they come to church, they bring their Bible, to get into the habit and to the routine, to know that, all right, we're going to church, where's our Bible? And for them to know, associate the Bible with church, they come to church to hear from God, and they hear from God in the Bible. And so whether they're in first grade, second grade, great, that's when we start encouraging them really to bring their Bible. But if they're bringing it in kindergarten, pre-K, I know that they can't read, and I know that it might be a distraction, but it also might not be, and they also might have the story of Jonah in there for when you cover the story of Jonah, and they might be able to turn to that page and be able to show all their friends sitting at their table and have them following along with the story. So encourage them to bring their Bibles no matter what age they are, but especially once they start reading. And I have a first grader, and he's reading better and better, but even if you have kids who aren't reading, teach them to begin to engage with and interact with the Bible by following the numbers. As you teach, tell them, all right, look, we're in, you know, Genesis chapter 3. Look for the big number 3, and then tell them the little numbers are the verses, and you can call out the little numbers as you go through, and they can follow along. Even if they can't read the words, they can look for the numbers. So think of ways to include them and help them to engage with Scripture and interact with it, and know that it's going to take a while. Don't become impatient and say, I got to have a lesson to get through, so I'm not going to make sure everyone has turned to the page. No, make sure they're there, because we are sowers, and we are sowing seed, not just as we speak it. You know, it's interesting. Studies have been done. Lifeway put out a study a few years ago as they looked at, why is there the drop-off? Why do people stop coming to church after they leave their parents' home or whatever the case might be? The number one deciding factor as to whether they would continue to come to church or not was whether they were regularly reading the Bible on their own at home. It wasn't who their friends were, what kind of music they listened to, how many times their parents brought them to church, how many events they went to. It was, are they engaging with God's word themselves? And so we're actually not doing a huge service to our kids if we're just giving it to them and spoon-feeding them, as much as we're equipping them to interact with God's word themselves, so that when we're not here with them, they can before the Lord themselves interact with God, and he can sow his word into their heart. Now, God's word never returns void. What we do is not meaningless or useless or vain. Every time God's word is opened up and we teach it, seed is being sown, and that does not return void. God's word is powerful. It is equipping. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is guiding, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is sharp and powerful, two-edged sword, piercing, and doing its work that it needs to do. So we shouldn't neglect to read God's word. We should always have our Bibles open as we teach the Bible, and we should encourage kids to bring their own Bible and help them learn to interact with it as much as we can, and know that that will cause a little bit of a delay in the classroom, so to plan for that. So let the little children come to me, and especially through the Bible. That is where God is on display more than anything else. But the younger kids are, the less time that you're going to have in God's word, the shorter the lessons are going to be. So we're going to put him on display in other ways, like how we worship and how we do the craft with them and asking them how they enjoyed the snow and did they make a snow cone and did they eat any icicles and isn't it so cool that God made the snow? And isn't it amazing that our hearts were dirty, but he washes our sins so that we can be white as snow? And you know, just interact with them, put God's heart on display, model Jesus to them, let them see Jesus in you so that they love being here because they love being with Jesus. All right, it is an invitation to the parents, certainly, not just the kids. The parents are the ones who are bringing the children to Jesus. I'm a parent. As I drop kids off in children's ministry, my expectation is that they will be blessed by God when they come. And I am confident that they will. I don't have any kids I drop off in a class and roll my eyes and be like, all right, I got to repair the damage after they get out of there. That's not the case at all. You're all here because I trust you. And I highly esteem who you are before the Lord. It is quite difficult to be a volunteer in children's ministry or special needs ministry with the different hoops that you have to go through. And, you know, at this point, we're checking four different references and there are questions that you're answering on the application, and you have to sit down and have an interview with me, and I go through the whole manual just to make sure you actually know what it is you're getting into. And then you still sign up, and you still come, and it's amazing, and God does his work. And I'm like, Lord, you just keep doing it. Praise God. They even know what they're in for. And so praise for you guys doing that. You are a comfort and a blessing to the parents. Let's do all that we can to help, especially if kids are having a hard time coming into the class. You know, we do have a lot of kids who do have special needs and struggle. And to be honest, all the parents know all the struggles their kids are having. They've been hearing about it all week, and they probably tried ever several churches before they got to ours. So we always just want to be gracious, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we are often the first impression and the last impression in children's ministry that someone will have of Calvary Philly. And so whether it is them coming for the first time and trying to drop their kids off in children's ministry or picking them up at the end of the day, whatever conversation that you have with them or however their kid is as you pick them up, they are usually rolling out of the doors from there. So that is what they are being left with. So let's be gracious to them, put God's heart on display for them. And of course, this is a ministry to one another. We are in this together. I would encourage you to look out for one another. But I would also encourage you that as soon as kids come into your classroom, it is no longer about whatever conversation you were just having. Attention is on the kids. So the younger kids are, or in special needs ministry or whatever, it can be a temptation. Like you think about in special needs ministry, especially when a lot of the kids aren't even speaking, it can be very easy to engage in conversation with the other volunteers in the room and then turn your back on the kids that you're actually supposed to be ministering to. Whether it's two-year-olds or three-year-olds, whatever the case might be, we need to make sure that 100% of our attention is on the kids, on them. We are there for them. And their parents brought them so that they could meet Jesus and be discipled by him. And so while it is about being with one another and blessing one another and sharpening one another and doing this thing together, we do that together for the kids and for the parents once the kids are in the room. So I would encourage you, again, this is part about showing up early, to be praying for one another, to know what's going on in each other's lives. So it's not just like ships in the night coming and going and you don't even get to know each other. Continuing right along. Remember that, lastly, this is ministry to Jesus. Do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you do it for me. So, yes, we serve the kids, yes, we serve the parents, yes, we serve one another, but ultimately we serve the Lord in how we do these things. The manual, some changes have happened. We'll kind of just travel through there, and I'll highlight what is different so that you can have an idea, and I'll highlight some things that we definitely need to brush up on that we've gotten a little sloppy with. Not everybody, but some of you. I'll name you. And then you'll know who it's not, at least. They're not in this meeting. Ministry is a calling. There should be a sense of the Lord leading you to minister so that when you're having a particularly thankless day and difficult, you remember that he's not unfaithful to forget your works and your labor of love for the saints. He will reward you, and all things are unto him for his glory. And crowns in heaven. Praise God for you guys and all that you endure serving in children's ministry. But just be encouraged. Know that it is a commitment. And so for those of you who have committed to serving, I do expect that you live out and live by the things that have been written out in the manual. because that is the standard that I'm telling our parents, our volunteers are living by, and that is the standard by which we all try to encourage one another to live by. And of course, there's grace, and there's going to be times when we're late and different things happen in our lives where we're not able to give due diligence to some of these things, but that should be the exception and not the rule. A ministry, not a calling. Just a side note, the volunteers who will have the greatest impact, the greatest positive impact on children's lives are those who first invest in their own relationship with God. I don't know how many of you are New Year's resolutioners. They say by the second week, most resolutions have fallen off the map. But just an encouragement, if I could stir us up to love, to good works, to love of the word. If anyone is not regularly going through Scripture in a way that is planned and you are exposing your heart to the full counsel of God, then I personally, for myself, I've been going through Robert Murray McShane's reading plan that essentially takes you through the whole Bible in a year, and he takes you through Psalms in the New Testament twice in that year. And so it's a lot of reading. It's you're in four different places in the Bible a day, roughly four chapters a day, but exposes your heart to a lot. And instead of getting bogged down maybe in an Old Testament narrative or list of genealogies or details about all of the instruments in the temple and how many there should be and what the measurements are, it just makes sure that you're in a lot of different kinds of areas in the Bible, and you're allowing your heart to get hit from a lot of different aspects of God's word so that you're well-rounded. So I printed out, you know, like 30 of them for any of you who want to take kind of his map, and he has a little commentary before he gets in there about that. But my wife's doing half pace, you know, so even if you take that and you say, hey, I'll do two chapters a year, and then in 2 years I'll have gone through the Bible more than once. And let that be a blessing to you. So that's what I'm doing. It's always nice to know that someone else is doing what you're doing. So when you wake up to do it, you know that you're not alone. And that God might be doing, you know, similar things in people's hearts. So if you just don't have a plan, there's a suggestion and an idea for you. But regardless, we should be exposing ourselves regularly to God's word. That's where equipping takes place. That's where growth takes place. And that, again, is where, unless we are hearing from God, then what we're doing is in vain. It's in our own strength and by our own methods and plans, and we just want to be on guard against those things. And it can be really discouraging serving in children's ministry, and there is an element of warfare, so unless we remain rooted and grounded in God's word, then it's easy to fall off the map and just, you know, you just get drowned in despair or feel overburdened or weighted or all alone or like it's pointless. And so let God remind you. Let him speak into your life. Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of life. And so don't let him stop speaking to you. Be diligent there. Back to the manual. That being said, if we want to have a godly influence on our kids, we must give ourselves not just to serving, but to diligently pursuing God and his word and through prayer ourselves. It's not just for the teachers, it's for everybody. All right, the manual. Let me walk through with you guys. We're going to skip over some things, and it's not in a perfect format. I don't understand how printers work and how these things work, but it just never comes out the way I want it to. I'm going to primarily go through the children's ministry manual. The special needs ministry manual I went over with you guys recently, and not much has changed in there. You have the welcome to children's ministry thing, the staff contact information. I ask that everybody attend a service in addition to the service they are serving at, whether that's midweek, over 50s, young adults, whatever. Make sure that you are attending. That is a way for us to stay accountable and grow ourselves. There is going to be other time that you are investing in your time of service, whether that's the prayer request that gets sent out every week. Be praying for the kids in your classroom, the things that are on their heart, what you're going to be teaching or being in the room, whatever the case might be. The length of time that you serve, like I said, it's a season. However long that season is, the Lord knows. Dress code, we should never dress in a way that would stumble. That's not just skin exposure. That is graphics on what we are wearing and things like that. And so let's just make sure that what we wear would never be distracting. And the other side of that is let's do make sure that we always have our lanyards on and our IDs with us, so that security knows we belong with the kids, so that parents know we belong with the kids, so that other volunteers in the room know that we belong with the kids. So when we see somebody in the children's ministry or the special needs area without a lanyard, without an ID, we know very much that they do not belong there, and we can say, hi, how can I help you? You don't belong here. Then deal with the situation. Again, if you don't like your photo, tough. We have a time limit. If you've served at least 5 years, you can get a new photo if you want. Some of you have been serving 20 years, and you still have your photo from 20 years ago, and you don't want it changed. because your hair still has color. But Summer takes care of all of that for like the next 5 days, and then she's going to have a baby, and then you'll just have to live with whatever photo you got. So. Scheduling, we do a one-month-on, one-month-off rotation. That's very much on purpose. Everything in here is on purpose. I try not to do things just because. That's for consistency and relationship building with the kids so that other volunteers in the room can get to know you. Kids really need routine to settle in, to build trust, to build relationships. And so if we're only there once a month or once in a blue moon, that's not enough consistency for kids to actually get to know us. And so to get to know the families, get to know the kids, serve at least a month at a time. And again, my friends in the nursery sometimes serve less than that, but they don't remember you next week anyway. Some of them do, actually. That's a lie. Some of them very much do. And you know the baby who needs to go to that person because they have, you know, the hips or whatever, or have a certain rock down that they do or something. Things they whisper over the baby that just work. If you're sick, stay home, call out, don't come in, please. There's not a little bit sick. You're sick or you're not. And so I would ask that you do not come in and share your germs. Love us and love all of us that way. Phones, no cell phones while you're serving. Shouldn't be out. They can be out before kids get there. If you've already prayed and you're just kind of waiting, once kids are there, phones are away. If you need to have a phone out because there might be an emergency or something like that, step out of the room, totally fine. Things happen, all good. Phones should be away while we're serving. It doesn't look good. We want to be above even the appearance of evil. And so when our attention is supposed to be on the kids and somebody's scrolling through their phone, from the outside looking in, it just doesn't look good. Looks like you're not there for the kids, not there to put God's heart on display. So keep the phones away while we're serving. Don't use them as a tool. We have other things that we can use. Definitely don't take photos of the kids. Definitely don't take videos of the kids. Definitely don't post them to social media. I say that because I've had to say it, because people have done it. So please refrain from doing that. Radios are in the room for communication. They look like this. If this scares you, become its friend and do the radio checks. Has a little knob for volume. You hear it turn on, and then you press the side button and release to listen. So everyone, when you come in this morning, I checked some rooms. They were on the wrong channel. They should all be on channel 3. Some of them, sometimes we come in and they're on the wrong channel, so you just turn it on, talk. If you don't hear anyone respond, troubleshoot, check the channel, make sure the volume's up, make sure you're not still holding on the button, and all of us are hearing you voice your frustrations to everybody. Why isn't this thing working? You're still pressing the button. We all hear you. All right. There's some troubleshooting things you can take through there. Again, that's to put kids' children's numbers up. If you need medical help, if there's any kind of emergency, if you need more craft supplies, if you need a fidget, if you need noise-canceling headphones, whatever, that's just use your radio to get home. Don't leave the room. Do not leave your room once you are there. The only time you should leave is because you're traveling to another area of the building with all the kids or, you know, bathroom break or something like that. Don't go on a scavenger hunt for more craft supplies. We will come to you. We don't let sick kids in the room. That is also not a blessing, so if you notice that they're definitely sick, say, hey, I'm sorry, we're not going to have you come into the room today. It looks like you should probably leave here and go to a doctor, you know, whatever the case might be. We definitely don't give medications. If a child is injured, there's a way for us to report that. There are, on our carts, little incident report forms that we can fill out. That's really important for us to do as soon as it happens, because then we're able to note what volunteers were there, who saw it, and it needs a sign-off from a parent that shows that we spoke to them about the incident so that I don't get a call later saying my son is limping and he says that, you know, somebody tripped him in the blue gym or whatever when he was playing around. And I say, I don't know, it's the first time I'm hearing about it. Must not have happened under our care, because we report these things and I know about everything that happens here. So he must be lying to you. Your son's a liar. No, that just shouldn't happen, because we should all be able to do the thing that we need to do. And then whether we got a Band-Aid or an ice pack or whatever the case might be, we can do that. There are doctors and nurses, medical team on standby every single service. So if it's a true emergency, like I had a kid bash his nose on like the door one day and he was just bleeding everywhere, medical team responded. It was all good. So they're always on call as well and on the radio for us to call to our room. This past year in particular, a lot of abusive or potentially abusive situations that I've had to report were mandatory reporters. And so this last year was particularly heavy. There was a lot of calls that I had to make. So I say that because when I put in here, notice if there's any unusual bruising, if there's any red flags that you notice about a child, they're really, really withdrawn or just something is not right, they're flinching when you reach out to them, whatever the case might be, sometimes God allows kids to roll through our children's ministry or special needs ministry just to bring an abusive situation to light. And so we never want to think, oh, I know that family, it's probably nothing. If it is nothing, then that will come to the light. And praise God that it's nothing. If it's not nothing and we say nothing, then there's a problem. And then we had an opportunity to rescue a child out of a situation, and we dropped the ball. So always take those things very seriously. And not that we want to be suspicious of everybody. And I have four boys. They are like hurt every single day and just constantly walk into walls or off cliffs. And it's like part of it is just like they are children. I'm just kidding. I don't let them walk off cliffs. But we need to notice when kids are hurt in an you'll be able to tell the difference. So just know that that has happened this past year and that we need to be on the lookout for such things. Here's a new section. That's fun. New things are fun. Inclusion. A note about inclusion. We do have a lot of special needs kids in our ministry. And I say that and I say praise God for that. I know that I could do a better job at training you guys on interacting with people with special needs. And Lord willing, that will happen. Let me just say that that 1 in 36 kids at this point are born with autism on the spectrum. And there are other special needs as well, not just autism. But autism is a big one, and those diagnoses are 4 times more likely in boys than girls. In America, the diagnosis usually happens by 4 or 5 years old. And so a lot of times in the 4-year-old room, they're letting me know what they're seeing, suspicions that they have, and they're just kind of rolling with, you know, is this someone I'm going to have a conversation with and let them know about our special needs room, or we're just going to hang with them and kind of see how things go. So I say that because our heart here is to include as many kids as possible in the typical classrooms in children's ministry. And we should do that only to the extent that it is not causing ministry to the other kids in the room to suffer or causing an unsafe situation. And so as long as we have a kid with special needs who is not constantly trying to run out the door and escape us, or who isn't bashing some other kid over the head or eating all the crowns, then we should be doing whatever we can to get to know them. I'm not so concerned that you guys would know diagnoses and everything about a diagnosis, because one kid with autism is 100% different from this other kid with autism. And so it's more about learning the kids, and it's more about just befriending them. And can you, I mean, we have to learn all the kids in the room. They're all different. And this child has particular needs that are a little different. They might need some more one-on-one time. They might need you to go over, get down on your knee, and take the 2 pairs of scissors that they have in their hands out of their hands to keep them from, like, you know, putting some extra holes in ventilation in their shirt or whatever. But we want to love these families, and we want to love them well. And the last thing that I want to do is tuck kids away in a corner when the parents are bringing them so that they can be blessed by Jesus and have a sense that God's heart has been put on display for their kids. And a lot of these kids are already in the schools, and they're rolling in typical classrooms, not all of them. Some of them do need the special needs room, and that's okay. But it shouldn't be our knee-jerk reaction to say, oh, hey, I'm not a special needs volunteer, so I'm going to send them to the special needs room, or we need to get somebody else in here. Let's do our best to learn the kids and be honest with me and be having a real-time conversation with me or any of the other kilos so that we can do our best to come alongside these families, because the reality is that they've already tried several of the churches and it just never works out. So sometimes they don't even tell us when they sign the kid. They're just like, hopefully it works out today and hopefully this, you know. But we want to know, and we want to be equipped and informed. So once we know we have a kid with special needs, I have them fill out an intake form, give us lots of information so that we can get to know their child well, what works for them, what sets them off, what causes them to get, you know, have temper tantrums or, you know, flip out or all those other things. So it's all just about learning the kids and loving them. We're thankful and blessed to welcome kids of all abilities into our Sunday school rooms. And we do our best to make our friends with special needs welcome and involve them as much as possible in every component in Sunday school. I would like to raise up a better buddy ministry of one-on-ones. It's not where we're at right now, praying that the Lord does that. So I'm very thankful for you guys who you do your best to kind of welcome these kids in. There are fidget toys available on every cart. Think of them as tools, not toys, so that if somebody needs an extra something to do with their hands, they're able to do that. They have that option. We have the noise-canceling headphones for them to use. They're on the Kids Club cart. We have different things that we're slowly growing and building to accommodate our friends with special needs into our church. And the number one desire of most of these parents is one, that they would become part of God's family, and they would know how much he loves them, And it's two, that they would have at least one friend, because they don't have any. And so that one friend might be you, might not be a kid their age. So get to know these kids and love on them and let them know how much Jesus loves them. And if there is a child you think would benefit from a buddy, do let us know, because we're working on that. And if there's a child who might need the special needs room, don't feel guilty about that. Some kids do. And then they'll go to another room and they'll thrive there. And maybe in a couple years, once they've been through some therapies and things like that, they'll be brought back into a typical classroom. So we're always evaluating constantly, can we pull them out of the classroom? Can we pull them out of special needs into a typical room? Do they no longer need a buddy? And we've had kids graduate out of the special needs room and graduate out of buddy ministry just as time has gone on and they've matured and different things have happened. So inclusion, that's the heart here, and I believe it's God's heart. We want to be a bridge to the family, not chase them away. I encourage you, just be honest and keep me posted on that. All right, pre-sign-in. Arrive 30 minutes before the service starts. That is on time. Kids arrive 15 minutes before the service starts. And so we definitely need to be there by then. Arriving 30 minutes before the service starts allows you to set up the room and to pray with the other volunteers who are there. We don't want to rush in. We don't want to come in our own strength, having had a crazy, chaotic morning, full of frustration, burdened. We want to, in a peaceful, settled kind of a way, be able to meet the first student who shows up at our door with a smile and with the toys out and the puzzles out and things in order and the desk ready for them to sit at and a volunteer on the knees ready to write the kid's name on the paper or whatever the case might be. So 30 minutes before service is on time. And do your best to be there so that we can be good stewards of welcoming people into the classroom so that we're not arriving the same time or even after kids have arrived. Show up. Check your tablet, check the date, age, service, do a check on the radio, and then you're ready for sign-in. Kids come 15 minutes before the start of each service. At least two volunteers need to be there at all time. We are never, ever, 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 ever alone with a child in the room. That should never happen. Again, we are to be above reproach in all things, not even the appearance of evil. We live in a crazy, chaotic, twisted, evil world where all kinds of accusations are made. And we don't want there to be even a hint of a shadow of a suggestion of any of that in children's ministry. Parents should feel confident that this is a safe environment. Part of how I onboard volunteers now is to make it a very safe environment and too tedious for anyone who would want to do any harm to get into our ranks. But we should still be watchful and mindful and do our due diligence to make sure that we're never in a situation where we could even be accused of something. So never be alone with a child. Ask parents to arrive if you're by yourself. To stay there until other volunteers arrive and get on your radio and ask for us to come. Tablets should all be preset. You should not have to use any username, put in any password. It should just be ready for you to go, start signing. You just need to make sure that it's on the right date, the right service, and the right time. You would have noticed a new feature for the tablets that's once you put a child's name in, it doesn't clear the screen. The kids stay there. That makes it significantly easier, especially if you have a joint classroom or you're doing multiple sign-in on an evening service, because you have big families show up, so you're able to just put in the last name and sign in all five kids who just showed up without having to type them up each individually. So on that end of things, the user end, it's easier. For everyone else, it's a little adjustment to get used to because it doesn't just refresh the screen and bring you back to a blank slate. You have to either hit clear or you have to type back and then put in the new name. So just know that that is a change and give me feedback on it. But you shouldn't have to do anything to set up the tablet. You should just be able to flip it open, make sure all the dates are right, and then start typing names in. Volunteers using the tablet should be 18 years old or older. Again, there are sensitive kind of custody things that we have going on at sign-in, and that's why. If there are people who are trying to drop off a kid who aren't listed as a guardian or people trying to pick up who are not listed as a guardian, then I would prefer an adult to kind of deal with those situations because they can get a little dicey. If a child's not in the system, they fill out a yellow form. And on that note, I will say that sometimes parents come and they say, I have filled out that form like five times. When are you going to put my child in the system? And I will say, you must have horrible handwriting because we put them in the system right away. And they do not get put in the system if we cannot read what you wrote. So it kind of falls on the volunteers doing sign-in. Just do a legibility check and make sure, because it's hard too, because we have a lot of different cultures represented. A lot of people who English is not their first language or even the alphabet that they use. And so for our friends, you know, who are Ukrainian or Russian or, you know, any other culture coming in, it's not always clear what is being written. And some of their names, they've actually never written in, like, the English alphabet. So they're just, like, trying to phonetically make it work. So make sure it's legible. And when, you know, Jen Heilman gets it, she'll put them in, and it should be good. Sometimes check with last name, try to type the last name in. Check with the first name, try to type the first name in. Maybe we misspelled one of those, and that's why, and then we'll just make an adjustment. But if we don't have them in there, it's because we didn't get enough information or the information we got we couldn't read. So just make sure that everything's squared away with that. People should be 16 years old or older dropping off their kids. Kids aren't allowed to drop themselves off. They try to do that. Parents just release them into the wild, and then kids are showing up at your door, and you are like, I need a handoff from an adult here. If kids have medical concerns, seizures, allergies, anything concerning, bleeding disorder or whatever, there's a little red box that come up in the sign-in to let you know and make you aware of that. If there is an active custody situation, there will be a little yellow box with the kid at sign-in, and it will say, do not permit so-and-so to pick up the child. And they also will not show up in the guardians who pre-fill the screen when you hit sign-out. If there's ever people who are showing up and they are not in the system, so here's sign-in, right date, day, service, grade, there's where you fill in the names, hit search, populates, and then you're able to see anyone with that name, hit sign in, and then tap the right guardian, and they're all signed in. If they are coming up and you don't see the guardian listed, you can do a one-time sign in, take that person's picture, and then close out, and that person's picture will be there at the end of service, but it won't be there next time you do sign in. So if you want a guardian to be added, they have to fill out one of the pink guardian add forms. And then once you go to sign out, you should be able to see your class list and everyone who's in your room, and you'll be able to sign them out from there. And it'll give you the number of kids that you have and all those deals. If you need an updated photo, you just click on the current photo or click on the icon, and then it will bring the camera up, and then you'll be able to add the photo from there. So same thing with the guardians. Click on the blank icon, add their photos. It's helpful for us to have updated photos, photos of the guardians. Otherwise, there's just a blank icon there, and we actually don't know if you are John Smith or whoever this guardian is who's listed here. Parents can stay in the room if they need to. Try not to do it more than once. If that's the case, then they need to get clearances, and they need to fill everything out so that, you know, they're not to interact as a volunteer with the other kids, just with their own child. But generally, we try to help them with that separation, even if we need to hold on to the child while they leave and the child is screaming and crying. Somehow, it always works out, and they eventually get used to us. And then they don't want to leave, and it's lovely. Lovely little change in tide there. So an encouragement. You will notice that the guardian add request forms are new. They're different now. We had a guardian get added somehow who shouldn't have gotten added that led to a really awkward situation this past year. So we just added a little more information on the guardian add form so that if there is somebody who is not listed as a guardian and they're dropping off a child, we assume guardianship there. And I don't mean legal guardianship. I mean Sunday school guardianship. Those are two different things. And so we assume that they're allowed to have a kid if they're bringing the kid and they're not listed. Then we can add them. And I ask that the volunteers just initial, hey, this person can be added. They dropped off the kid. And then the other situation would be somebody wants to be added, but they're not in the system. They're not dropping off the child. So for that one, a current guardian needs to sign and give permission for that guardian to be added so that we know they're legit. Because there's some interesting family situations in our church that not everyone should be able to pick up a child. Classroom time. Classroom time on page 10. Again, the components. My emphasis here is on the Word of God this year. Reading, teaching, memorizing. Made a change last year. All of the kids are memorizing the same verse every Sunday. There's not different ages, different grades memorizing different verses. So for the first week of the month, four-year-olds all the way through fifth grade is all memorizing the same verse. That's been a blessing to me at home, blessing to anyone with more than one kid, because then you're able to have a verse that you're working on that week as your family. It's your family verse. You're all working on together. You're not trying to nail down four different verses for each different kid. And so I would encourage you, memorize those verses yourself as well. Hide God's word in your heart. And again, we are trying to have them memorize God's word and hide it in their heart for the joy and the benefit and the blessing that it is. If we can, by God's grace, make much of God's word and make God's word to them just special and unique and good, let's get into the habit of saying as we read God's word or as we get ready to read God's word, hey, let's see what God has to say to us. This is God's word to us. That's like what we do at home with my boys. Let's see what God has to say to us today. Open up his word. God speaks to us in his word and through his word. That is where kids meet with God. We're not paraphrasing stories. We are reading actual verses that God has actually spoken. And when God speaks, things happen. Worlds are created. Lives are transformed. Life is breathed into spiritually dead people. And people are drawn into his kingdom. Christians are equipped. Darkness flees when we actually speak God's words. So speak from the Bible and open up your Bible and memorize the verses and let the kids know, hey, God's going to talk to us now. And if a king were to step into the room and we were to have our attention on him or whatever the case might be, someone of great importance, you know, it's not so much I am really important as your teacher, I have something important to say. It's God has something he wants to tell us this morning. He wants to speak to you today. So let's see what he has to say. And so that should be a joy. You know, it shouldn't be a competition to see how many pieces of candy I can get. It shouldn't be how many prizes can I stack up this month. We have the prizes, we have the candy, but that's not the point at all. And so there are some incentives there for the kids who memorize their verses. I ask that you please don't give away more than one piece of candy if you are giving away candy. It shouldn't be like Halloween every Sunday or every Wednesday. Kids are going away with bags of candy. I'm like, we just literally got like the Sam's Club-sized bag of candy. Where'd it go? And you're like, yeah, well, you know, they made out good tonight. They were really well-behaved. And no, that's not the point. That doesn't bless our parents either. All their dentist bills go up. They're like, what's going on? It's like Calvary Philly, man. Their children's ministry is just real generous on the candy. So just, you know, reel it in with that and really try to impress on our kids a reverence for the Word of God and how special it is. It's not just a church thing. It's not just, you know, this age group or this classroom. Every single day, hey, God wants to speak to you. God has something to say to you. He made you. He loves you. He has a plan just for you. And part of his plan for you is going to tell us today. Let's see what he has to say to us. God talks to us through his Word. Read it, teach it, use it, memorize it, and help them do the same. Prayer, talking to God. Continue to fill out the prayer requests. Continue to provide time for that. Let the kids know that you're praying for them. Follow up on prayer requests so that they know how much you love them and what's going on. Man, we must have gotten thousands of prayer requests this past year. And they get sent out to all the different age groups. Again, Jen types them up, sends them out. So there's a legibility question mark there. They have to be legible. And it's funny, you can always see the cascades of ideas that happen. Sally prayed for her cat. And so now Jen is going to pray for her dog. And now Michael is going to pray for his cousin's fish. And it's just like all suddenly you're like, wait, there's a pet theme. What just happened? And you know that like one kid had one concern for a pet and now all the pets are being mentioned. And Johnny wants a dog, but he doesn't have one. And it just continues to go through. So it's funny to see those things. There's so many kids every single week, every time they're here. Pray that my dad gets saved. Pray that my mom will get saved. And some of those prayer requests have been answered this past year. And you see the kids just get lit up, joyful. One little girl came in the one Sunday, my mom's here at church. God did it. You know, pray for these kids. Let them know how much you love them. God works through our prayer. We're not just talking into space. Let God talk to them. Teach them to talk to God. Cast his cares on him because he cares for us. Worship. Encourage participation, participate yourself, sing, do the motions. Some rooms, special needs, pull the instruments out. It's awesome. Just hands-on. It's a good thing. Relationship building. Again, discipleship happens primarily in the context of relationships. So build relationships with the kids. Get to know their names as best you can, the names of the families, and get to know them, what they care about, what they like to do in the snow, when their birthday is, the whole deal. You know, we have everyone's birthday come up in the tablet. So I always try to take note when I'm doing sign-in. Yo, happy birthday, man. How old you gonna be, man? And then it's like, oh, whoa. You know, it's like this whole big deal, special thing that happens. He knows it's my birthday. So try to take note of those things and make it special for them. And then, of course, the gospel. Our desire is that these kids would be saved. God's desire is that everyone would be saved and come to a saving knowledge of the truth, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that children can do that. To me, it's not public knowledge. Because to me, you guys aren't public. You've gone through a series of tests, and we've vetted you. And so I trust that you're not going to take any of the prayer requests and post them online or use them as points of gossip. And I'm not trying to just like be flippant about what you're asking. I'm just genuinely, what it does for a child's heart to know that they can bring that up and ask prayer for it, they are most broken about that thing. Like that's the most heartbreaking thing going on in their life right now. And so that opens up the door for me to then minister to them. And it is true. We have several kids who have either recently gone through a divorce or are currently going through, their parents are going through a divorce. And I appreciate knowing what these kids are wrestling with in children's ministry, and seeing those things then opens up a door for me, not for you guys per se, unless you know them, but for me to go and say, hey, you know, your son brought this up as a prayer request. How can we come alongside of you guys as your church family? You know, how can we step into your life and help you guys out? And sometimes that help is accepted and sometimes it's not, but I've never been met with like animosity at having known those things because the kids bring it up. And then that just would, if it was not enjoyed, would be a conversation with the kids and their parents. You know, hey, we don't share those kinds of things. But I welcome anything that's kind of on the kids' hearts. And then I let them know, you know, Jesus knew what it was like to be in a single-parent household. At some point, Joseph left the picture. He was the oldest of at least 7 kids, a poor family. He knew a lot of the tension and the heartache there. Knows what it's like to be lied about. You know, you just go through the different heartaches that people experience. No one knows our brokenness more than Jesus. And the Bible says that he's near to the brokenhearted. It's not that he promises all our problems will go away right now. He just promises to be with us. And so that opens up those opportunities to have those conversations with the kids. But yeah, I invite all of those things. One thing about prayer requests is it's not story time. So sometimes it turns into a prayer request competition. And they try to outdo one another with the coolest, funniest prayer request. Or the common one is, my birthday's on Thursday. And I'll say, okay, what's your prayer request? That you live to see your birthday, you know? And they just needed everybody to know, no, my birthday's on Thursday. I was like, no, it's prayer request time. So, you know, we are also teaching them how to come to God and request things. Because some things we shouldn't pray for. I'm not going to pray that you get a PS5. That's just what I'm not going to pray for. And I'll let them know, nah, I'm not going to pray that you win your soccer game. But I'll pray that everybody stays safe because there's some other kid on this other team praying the same thing. So we teach them and help them. There are ways that we are to pray and ways that we are not to pray. And so we're trying to teach them how to pray as they give requests and things like that. So use of rewards, I already mentioned that. Rewards stuff's on the cart. There's candy there, different things for incentives. Be aware of allergies. Kids should not eat the candy in the class. They should wait till pickup because parents might not want them to eat those things anyway. Classroom supplies, if you need more of anything, use your radio. Screens, kids aren't supposed to have screens. No cell phones for the kids. No, they can't bring their Nintendo Switch in. No, they can't have anything out. If they do, we ask them to put it away. If they keep it out, we take it, and then we give it back to the parent and remind them, this is a screen-free zone. Sensory items. There are fidget toys. Again, these are tools, noise-canceling headphones, different things we have available if you need them for kids in your class. Discipline and correction. Fun, 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 fun. Finally, Chris, what have you been waiting for? I don't have an answer. I should have given this to you a long time ago. You ever have a kid that drives you nuts? This is becoming increasingly more challenging as we do have more and more kids with special needs. Because sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between what might be the diagnosis that they have versus what is actually behavioral, which is hard because kids with special needs still have sin in their hearts. So there is both things there. And so we always err on the side of grace, certainly. And no, we don't want to just give parents a laundry list of ways that their child was awful when they come to pick up their child. So what's the plan? Well, the plan is to remain calm, take a breather, pray. And don't be reactive with how you're going to talk to a child. We should never hit a child. We should never strong arm them. We should never yell at them or shame them in front of all the other kids or humiliate them. In most cases, and this is the older kids are, this is what we do, a 3-strike rule. And you have to communicate with them what you are doing at each strike. This looks different in special needs, but here's how we do it in children's ministry. Strike one. Hey, come on, man. I ask you to stop. This is strike one. If we get to strike 3, then I'm going to put up your number and your parents are going to come back and get you. But we're not going to get to strike 3. Strike 1, I'm just telling you, no more of that. If you need to move, we'll move you. But don't do that again. Kid keeps doing it. 5 minutes later, strike 2. All right, buddy, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk to your mom after service. I'm going to let her know what you were doing. I asked you to stop and you didn't stop. And again, if we get to strike 3, then at this point, we're going to put your number up and call your parent back. Get to strike 3. And then you like realize, I don't want to be at strike three. I don't want to put this kid's number up. Maybe I'll just tolerate this. There's only 5 minutes left of the service anyway. And you do. You measure it out. You weigh it out. I ask you this. Please do what you say you're going to do. Don't breathe empty threats out to the kids. God disciplines those who he loves. And parents are the primary disciplinarians of their children, certainly. But if you allow certain behaviors to continue in your classroom, then that is teaching all the other kids in the classroom a different gospel. That maybe God doesn't actually mean the things that he says. And maybe that there's actually not consequences for sin. We're just going to say a bunch of things and hope that a behavior change happens, and then it doesn't, and so, oh well. And so if you get to strike three, do put the child's number up. And we should get there patiently. God is slow to anger, abounding in mercy. We shouldn't be quick to get here or even desire to get here. But when we get here, it's time to put the child's number up. And I've never gotten a strike three again with any child I've ever gotten a strike three with. Sometimes a parent might disagree with you. And if that's the case, oh well, you know, I don't know what they're doing here. But generally, parents are receptive to the feedback, and they're thankful. And, you know, like I had one kid write me an apology the other week, and he wrote out, "Sorry for being crazy last week. I won't do it again." I was like, "Oh, thanks, but," you know, gave him a little hug. This, all right, dude, we're good. I had actually forgotten, but thank you. You know, kind of a thing, so. Yeah. Yeah, you can, if there's an atmosphere that allows it, or if your assistant in the room, at this point, an assistant should be going and sitting next to that child. We should have moved the child's seats. Maybe that's more so like class management. This is more so like what do we get, you know, when we get to the discipline correction stage kind of a thing. There are exceptions to every rule. So sometimes we are literally peeling kids off of their parents and holding them tightly as they are kicking and screaming. And we are trying to create that separation. An anxious mom is right around the corner listening, ready to get back in that room and rescue her child. And so we try to create as much separation as possible, especially if a child is new or transitioning into a different room or whatever. Like, there's areas of grace. But generally, for the kids who are just tough, hard, I mean, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction isn't ours to give, but we do want there to be consequences. It might be withholding, you know, a treat at the end of class or something like that, or removing a toy away from a child who is just, you know, it's no longer toy time or whatever the case might be for the younger age groups. It might even look like a short timeout or something like that. But again, that kind of starts to go into the zone of like public humiliation where you're having a kid stand in the corner and then you kind of forget about him. And he's like standing there upset and sad. And that's the memory he leaves with, you know. So we want to reflect Christ's heart even in these things and not to do anything out of anger or bitterness towards kids, because we are evil from our youth, as we just learned in Genesis. And foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and kids are fools because they're not grown up yet. And all of us are pretty much the same, just a little more mature. So we give grace. In extreme cases, a child is punching another child in the face. You don't say, "All right, hey, that's strike one." No, at that point, you're just putting the number up. If anything is ever unsafe, strike system is gone. You just hit strike three right away. That hasn't really happened. Holidays, Jesus is always our emphasis. Moving location, again, make sure you have the kids that you should have. You should have your tablet, your radio, everywhere you go. Worship, lead by example, help the kids to focus, refocus. Bathroom time, children-only bathrooms are for children only. Not even for kids who are volunteers. It's not an under 18 bathroom, it's a child-only bathroom. And so bathroom, the most vulnerable time for the kids. We want to be good stewards over that and be listening out. All the doors are propped open so we can have 100% attention on what's going on in there to make sure they're not like dispensing the entire soap dispenser or like rolling out all the toilet paper and wadding up into balls and throwing it at each other or looking under the stalls, whatever the case might be. We want to be good stewards of their time in the bathroom. And if there's little kids in the bathroom, we don't let the big kids come in until the little kids wrap up and are done. They have bigger bladders. They'll be all right. They'll be fine. But there should never be a power imbalance in the bathroom. It's not the place for it to happen. The volunteer taking the child to the bathroom should be an adult. In case an emergency happens while at the bathroom, you know, you hear a big bang, kids start screaming, or a lockdown alarm or a fire alarm goes off. Adults need to be able to respond to those things, which is why we don't have junior men's take kids to the bathroom. And if you do need to go into the bathroom for any reason, emergencies supersede all policies. So go in and get the kids. If a kid needs help with a belt, a zipper, a button, just be in view of the video camera and have another volunteer present watching and do what you need to do quickly and then be done again so that there's no accusations or anything like that. Sign out. Parents do not enter the classroom. Kids meet them at the door. We should be disinfecting all of our things in our classroom, from toys to desks to everything. And then returning everything to the way it was, since it's a shared space. We share space with the school, and we want to be good stewards of that. So make sure you do those things. Again, if they have a yellow form, have them sign it out, return the temporary card, and let them know, hey, next week we'll take your picture. You'll get a number that's permanent, and we'll go from there. Never, ever, 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 ever release a child to someone who is not listed as a guardian. I don't care if the child is running over and trying to give them a hug and calling them grandmom. I don't care. This is here for the children's safety. You can tell that to grandmom, and you can tell grandmom, I'm sorry, I need a guardian who is listed. I know everything is probably cool, but this is just the safety measures that we have in place to make sure our kids never go home with the wrong person. And if they are a reasonable human being who loves their grandkids, then that will be a totally acceptable response. And if they are not a reasonable human being, then we don't need to release any kids to them without another guardian. Sometimes we get the response, well, they're not even here. And I'll say, all right, well, then I need to call them. I need to get them on the phone, and they need to give me your name, and you need to give me your ID and tell me that you actually are who this person is saying you are and get permission over the phone from them. Like, there's things that we can do. We don't just go willy-nilly with kids and release them to whoever because it's an awkward or a stressful situation. That is when we should be most on guard. So never release a child to someone who's not listed as a guardian. And again, afterwards, we wipe everything down, share the rooms with the school, return to the way it was. All right, last little bit of fun information here. Oh, I forgot about that. Couple instances of cross-dressing this past year. How do you respond to that in today's day and age? One was a cultural situation where there was a gypsy family visiting from England, and the child, they had a little boy wearing a skirt come into the room. We didn't know it at the time that it was cultural. We just knew that there was a little boy wearing a skirt in their classroom, and what do we do with this? Sometimes there's a little boy or a little girl, and again, in the case of the four-year-old room, it was a little boy, and we're just like, not really sure if this is a little boy or a little girl, actually. I was wearing pink shoes, but has a boy's, like, just not sure. If there's ever anything like that super obvious where you like, you, it's very obvious there's a little boy dressed as a little girl coming into the classroom, then we just hit pause. And that can be a conversation that I have with whoever's dropping off. If it's like a grandmom who finally, like her son, let her bring her grandchild to children's ministry, to Sunday school, like, yes, we want them here and we want them to be loved and to know the love of God. We don't want to cause confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And we don't want to be or provide a space of stumbling for the other kids in the classroom. And again, the older kids are, the more of a problem this would be. And so, yes, we want everybody to come to Jesus. And yes, I want anybody to feel free to come to Calvary Philly. But we should never be in a position where we are stumbling children. There are some very severe words in the Bible about people who stumble children. I don't want to be in that category personally, but there are people in the world who are, and our culture is dripping with them. And so that has no place in the church. We have clothes in the nurse's office I have access to. If a kid really wants to be in here, then we can have them change. There's no reason why they should be in a dress. Again, this hasn't really happened to an extent where we've had to address it like for real. But if you ever have a situation that's awkward enough or strange enough, just say, hey, I'm so sorry. Can you hold on a minute and get the kilos? And the kilos will get me, and I will have a conversation with whoever is coming into the room. And if it's someone who is genuinely saved, bringing their child to, you know, they should know. We can't have little Johnny in the classroom in makeup and in a pink dress. This is not going to be good for any of the kids in the class. Yes, we want him here. Yes, we love him. Yes, God loves him. But he needs to put on some jeans and a T-shirt or something like that, you know. So very sensitive, but I believe, you know, there's people more and more getting saved out of that culture, or really desperate grandparents who have kids and grandkids caught up in these things with all the gender wars and things like that. So something for us to be on the lookout for and to be prayerful over. We never want to be a cause of stumbling or allow other kids to get stumbled, but we also don't want to be cold and heartless and hinder kids from coming to Jesus who we should let come to Jesus. And so there's a line there. And we should be prayerful over it. Oh, I forgot to mention this too. Regarding Bible teaching, and then we'll do the emergencies, and then I will release you. You can go watch the Eagles and eat good food. Or come back to prayer. That's what you should do. Just kidding. I'm not going to judge you. Regarding our Bible teaching, I'm sorry, I meant to say this when I was talking about the importance of God's Word. When you are teaching God's Word, we want it to be a special time where the kids know that they are hearing from God. So to the best of our abilities, it should not be a time where we encourage them or permit them to be doing other things. And so it's not finish your craft and listen to the Bible lesson time. Some rooms are big enough and are conducive to separating all the kids from their desks and having them gather around and having the Bible time separate from all their stuff. Most of the rooms are very tight and all the desks are crammed in there and all of the craft stuff is just right on the desk and kids are going to be doing things while the Bible lesson is going on, but we really want to do our due diligence to make sure that they know God has something to say now. And so we're not going to be doing all of these other things and whispering to my friend, hey, where does his sword go? And trying to glue things in the right place and figure out how to fold what, and kids are talking to each other or coloring, or like sometimes kids need to fidget and do things with their hands during the Bible lesson, but not all of the kids. Like, I should never walk past a classroom and kids are just bent over a craft, back turned to the teacher who is proclaiming the word of God. Because then they're not actually receiving what God has for them. God is speaking and they are just treating it like, that's not important. I'll just do my craft. And I know kids often pick up things that we're saying and we don't even realize they were paying attention, and praise God for that. That's the Spirit and that's God's word. But we don't want to actively be enabling them treating the teaching of God's word like secondary, not really super important. I don't give my full attention to it. The way that we will equip our kids to attend church and to receive from the Lord is to equip them to receive from the Lord as we teach the Bible. This is Bible time. It's not the whole time. And so we should have lessons that are appropriate time length for their age or whatever. But while God is speaking, we're giving him our attention. And so let's do our best to make sure that when we have our Bibles open, they're not doing a bunch of other things in the classroom. Faithfully sow the seed, make sure that they are attentive to the word of God, and then watch God transform their hearts and minds and lives. We don't have to make God out to be anything that it's not. It just is the powerful thing that it is. So let's faithfully give kids opportunities to meet with God through the teaching of his word and make sure that it's in us and ready to be on our lips come Sunday or Wednesday or whenever it is. Emergency procedures. Lockdown. In the event of a lockdown, an alarm will sound. Play for you now. Lockdown alarm will sound. Once it sounds, you will go through the following steps. Submarine's going down. That's the lockdown alarm. That's stay put. All the doors are locked on the outside. There's a little magnet in the door jamb. You cannot close the door. The way that you lock other people out of your room is to remove the magnet so that the door can be closed. It's already locked on the outside. Then you just think top to bottom. Curtain over the window. Lights turned off. Nightstick, little metal piece that's on the wall next to the door, goes through the door into the floor. And then you get the kids from the opposite end of the room away from the door. This is an active shooter situation. Someone's in the building trying to do harm. If they're going down a hallway full of locked doors that are dark and quiet, they're not going to spend a lot of time trying to get into those rooms where there may or may not be somebody. They're trying to do as much damage as possible in as little time as possible because they know their time is limited. So we need to go through those steps to make sure the door is locked down. We're not waiting for the person down the hallway to get to our room so we can bring them in. We're closing our door. We're responsible for whoever is in our classroom, and that is the lockdown. Lockdown alarm goes off. Afterwards, the fire alarm goes off. You disregard it. Don't worry about the fire alarm. Again, that's how someone would try to get lots of people out into the open to do lots of damage very quickly. And so just disregard. That is why there is a password at every single service that is unique to that service. The adults in the room get the password so that in the event of a lockdown, myself, security guys, other pastors can come around and let you know, hey, the lockdown is over. The password for this service is Passover, or whatever it is for that service. And then you know you can remove the nightstick, and we will unlock the door and come in. If somebody is trying to get into your room, which would be very, very hard to do, and they make it into your room and they aren't saying the password, then we consider them hostile, and you're looking around the room for what is going to be your weapon. Chair, desk, ruler, you just look around. Your job is to protect those kids no matter what when they are under our care. So that's the lockdown. Fire evacuation is the opposite. It's get out. And so the carts for the younger kids have ropes that you can pull out. All the kids can hold the rope while they exit the building. You take your tablet. You do your head count. Make sure you have all your kids with you. Take your radio. And for the most part, everybody marches out the CPAC into the back playground area of the building. Keep your class in order. Once you are outside, your tablets no longer work because they're off the Wi-Fi. But some of us have a way to bypass that on our phones so we can do sign out once parents are brought to the back. In a fire alarm, the doors into the children's ministry area and the special needs ministry area behind the sanctuary hallway, they all close and lock so that parents can't get back there to their kids. Otherwise, it would just be too much chaos. So they all get directed out the front of the building, and we all go out the back of the building where people in Kids Club, in the four-year-old room, will go out that side building where Kids Club is. There's actually a back door that goes out to the Philmont side of the building, and then you walk along the Philmont Ave sidewalk, not the sidewalk next to the building that's on fire, road sidewalk, go to the back to the playground area where the parents will get their kids, and that's the short of it. Special needs, especially the young room, can utilize those big strollers if they need to, or cribs or whatever they need to, wheelchairs, and again, nursery might utilize the cribs as well. Just throw all the babies in a crib and wheel them out of there. It'll all be all right. Leave things behind. If kids have coats, I'm fine with them grabbing a coat. I don't think it's very safe to bring kids out when it's like 15 degrees out and have them standing there indefinitely, shivering and getting all kinds of harm to their bodies. So it's fine to grab a coat and make your way out. Additional resources, there's some websites on there. Obviously, Joe's teachings are great. I usually listen to whatever I'm going to be teaching, his teaching before I do, to make sure that I'm not off or about to teach something that he would disagree with, since he is the lead. Blue Letter Bible is a great free resource, along with David Guzik's commentary. That's what we put on the back of the curriculum. The Childhood Evangelism podcasts, again, there's a couple podcasts listed there. Books, couple books listed there as well. In terms of books, again, my desire for this year especially is just to really saturate my heart in God's word. And so one of the things that I'm doing is memorizing more of God's word. And I will send out the title of a book for you guys, but it's essentially a book that's on order for our bookstore to get more back in stock. It was recommended in our Christmas catalog, recommended by Kevin DeYoung, some others. And it's just a practical way, a method for memorizing God's word from one verse at a time to whole books and whole chapters. So currently I'm working on memorizing Ephesians. It's been rich and fruitful to me. Years ago, I memorized the first three chapters and then let it go. So I'm going, digging back into it. But I want to encourage you, hide God's word in your heart and just watch it transform your life. Internalize God's word, meditate on it, and you will be like the tree that's planted by streams of living water in Psalm 1. That is the thing that we need more of, not more of the next whatever season is coming out, or more of, you know, sports radio or whatever. Make sure you are giving time to God's word, to read it, to internalize it, to memorize it, and to let God equip you for whatever he has. That is truly what we need in all things. You can be praying about this, lastly. I'm a 98% there to say that in August we will be having a children's ministry conference. We had been having one in 2020, and it was scheduled for March, and then the world went into chaos, and it got canceled. And ever since, people have called the church and said, when are we having our children's ministry conference? I have never felt compelled or burdened to provide anything for anyone else's church but our own, because we have our own problems and our own people to equip and our own families to minister to. But I think it's to the point where a lot of conferences are held here. We have the conference thing down as a church. And we have a lot of the material in the workshops and the policies and things that I think would be generally helpful and equipping to you guys and to anyone else who would find it helpful. A curriculum that is free for anyone to use who wants to. You know, our curriculum gets used all around the world. So I have people call me all the time, several times throughout the year, sometimes from some Africa, Canada, South America, different states and things like that, people who are plugging in, people using our sports resources, our VBS curriculums, just it's all there online for anyone who wants it, so, and it's all for free. So, you know, to make that available to anyone who would find it useful, I think that would be a blessing. So be praying for that as I pray for it and about it. And just know that that might be a possibility coming up come August. Make sure I didn't skip anything that I really wanted to say. That was a boatload of information. Anything confusing? Some of the things that we went over are just make more sense as you do it, like the tablets, the lockdown procedure itself, some of the things in the classroom. A lot of this should have been review. The big takeaways were just really the heart for inclusion, the discipline thing, the emphasis on God's word, and to make sure that we're giving our best to the Lord, that we're coming ready to serve and ready to give him our best. I'm all for when you give me your best, but really I just want you to give God your best, and then you will give me your best as well. But know that you guys are a blessing. Pray about however long the Lord would have you here, and keep the ministry in prayer. You know that the Lord from the ministry fair would raise up co-laborers to join the team and come alongside of us and begin to do the things that I believe the Lord is leading us in a direction to do. So I would encourage you in that direction. If you do end up with any questions as you go through your manual or whatever, or have suggestions or feedback or something that I've put in place is not working, please be honest and just let me know. This is a group effort. I don't need my name on anything, and I don't need to be remembered at the end of it all. Someone else is eventually going to take my place, or Jesus is going to come back, and he will do all the ministry directly himself, and it'll be a blessing. So I am thankful to co-labor alongside of you, and let's close in prayer here. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness in each of our lives, Lord. I thank you for everyone in this room, just for taking a little bit of time after a busy morning, busy lives, busy week, Lord. Pray that you would minister to each and every one what they need from you. And we thank you that you do know what we need, Lord. You're faithful to give it to us, faithful to bless us, faithful to feed us, Lord. And you have a plan to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope, Lord. You will bring to completion the work that you started in each and every one of us. So we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, and of the faith of these kids and their families. So I pray that this ministry, these ministries, Lord, special needs, children's sports, would represent you well, and would be enriching spiritually for the lives of all who interact with us, Lord. So pray for a fresh filling of your spirit to do your work in these days, Lord. And pray that when it's all said and done, we would be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we thank you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.